this episode, I want to talk about dangers, pitfalls, wannabes, and wishful thinking. The spiritual community does have some organizations where there are very well-structured certification schemes, but they are not mandatory. And much like driving a car, you pass a test and then you learn to drive. But getting to passing the test takes time, and then you've got a long time before you can become a very good driver. Some people are naturally gifted at things. They can sit at a piano and play by ear, and some people can have many lessons and realize they're just never going to have the capacity to be a pianist. They're tone deaf. Some people sit at an easel and they can draw and paint a perfect picture, a completely exact likeness of someone's face, and they've just got a natural gift. Some people can train for many years and not achieve a brilliant result. And it's the same with mediumship. It's not for everyone. And one of the dangers of psychic and spiritual development is the same as any danger in the real world. Not everyone's your friend, and not all the spirits that you can commune with are friendly either. But we don't want to stop people from developing. We don't want to stop people from unfolding their natural latent talents. But unfortunately, a lot of people want to be able to run before they can walk. And a lot of people begin by having very powerful psychic connections. And using the solar plexus, they can draw energy from people and get some very accurate information, even memories of loved ones. So then the advice that they give from then on, the person receiving the reading will believe it's coming from their loved one in spirit, when really the psychic is unsure. They're just seeing the memory of the loved one. And then they're picking up the hopes and dreams of the person they're giving the reading to. And that person's probably quite desperate to hear what they want to hear. And they will hear that. And they'll go off and think that that's what's going to happen. Now, this can be positive because it can become a self-fulfilling prophecy, where they believe so badly that these great things are going to happen that they go and make them happen. But the problem is, the psychic who's able to do this, when they go and start developing spiritually for mediumship, they seem to reset. They'll go along to a church or a centre, sit in circle, and they'll struggle where before they thought they were quite good. And they can either take that badly or realise that they're just starting over again. And going back to the basics and starting over again happens to everyone time and time again. It's just a natural part of the process of unfoldment. Each time you've learnt more, you've achieved more, and you'll get better. But even with the most experienced mediums, things change. The energy shifts. Sometimes they don't seem to have their gift, and sometimes their gift changes. Different ways that the spirit world work with us, different guides working with us. It's like a river. It meanders, it shifts. You never step into the same river twice. And mediumship can be like this as well. And many people want to fit mediumship and psychic gifts into their lives, their careers and their family, and they don't really have the time. So instead of spending years and years sitting every week in a circle, developing and doing it the long, hard way, people seek out those who are willing to give them a six-week course with a certificate at the end of it, and then they can go off and practice based on that certificate, which to the majority of people is worthless. These people will take you only so far, because at the end of the day, they have a business to run. And they've made it into a business. And unfortunately, when you do that, and when money becomes your primary goal, it takes something away from it. There are communities, churches and centres where there are development circles. You begin with an open circle, and there will be anyone can drop into it. The medium will typically teach you prayer, meditation, connecting with your higher self and your guides. and there'll be exercises to work on the psychic and mediumistic faculties. And these are typically an hour and a half, 2 hours. And they'll be once a week, once a month, or maybe a fortnight. And they're to introduce you to it. Then you get invited to a closed circle, where it's the same people every week. And the medium will develop you as much as you are able to be developed. And typically, this takes years, not weeks, months. And you can go on courses at famous colleges, and you will learn a lot and maybe develop an intensity in a week or two. But it still doesn't mean that you're going to be able to go off and practice as a fully fledged, perfected medium, if there is such a thing. A lot of people will mistake some of the things they're getting that psychically for mediumistic. And it's only with experience that you learn the difference. When you open your higher spiritual faculties, firstly, you have to cleanse your psychic faculties. And when you've been working on your solar plexus for so long, reading people through it, it can take a while to cleanse it. And typically, people will go to a spiritual healer or a spiritual circle for the first time. And this faculty will be closed down for the first time in a long time. And you'll mistakenly believe that your gift has been shut down or taken from someone. And it hasn't. It's been shut down by your spirit team because you've consciously kept it open for so long, you haven't been able to tell the difference. And now you begin from scratch again, opening up not just your psychic centers, but your spiritual centers as well. Healing is wonderful for this. And like I say, some people will take it badly, or some people will realize that it's just the beginning of another journey. Sitting in circle is enjoyable. It's fun. You meet new people, you listen to other experiences, you wait your turn, and you share some of yours. But like, some people don't want to do that, and they want to rush ahead. They want some individual one-to-one tuition, and then get a certificate stamped at the end of it. And that's just futile. There are people who will turn up to a church or centre, say that they're a medium and they've got reviews on Facebook and that they're quite good and they deserve an opportunity to serve. And they'll get annoyed when the person who books the mediums puts on some of their own mediums from that church, and they'll be accused of favouritism. And I can tell you it's not. Some of the people will spend many years devoted to their church, devoted to the centre. They'll not only sit in the circles, the development circles, they'll go to the platform presentation classes. They'll also volunteer by stewarding at the door, setting out the chairs, stacking them away at the end, making the teas, washing up, cleaning spillages, unblocking toilets, everything. And they'll do this for many, many years. So when the opportunity arises and they're ready, the church, the centre, whatever, will support them and give them the opportunity to go on the platform. And quite often, mediums who wish to be on the platform of that church get a little bit annoyed that they're not being asked. They will be, but these people have earned their stripes. They've spent the time dedicated to serving, to developing, and now it's their chance to get an opportunity. No one's going to hold you back. There are jealous people. There's a lot of jealousy in spiritual communities. But in these circles, churches and centres, people are not like that. They'll give you constructive criticism, and you might not realise what they're saying at the time because you haven't got the experience that they've got. I myself was developed fairly quickly, but I sat in the circles, I served my church, and I went to platform presentation classes with a tutor who had been doing that for the Spiritualist National Union, developing mediums through a platform accreditation scheme. And she's done this for nearly 40 years. So when she said I was ready, I still left it another year or two. I was turning down some of the offers I was given. And eventually I accepted her offer and I went out with her and I accepted some of the other opportunities and developed that slowly. And even though I was quite naturally gifted and my life had been conducive to it, not everyone has the opportunities because they have a different life than the one I've had. And I understand that. And it's hard to get that across to people. You know, when you don't have the responsibilities they've got, it's easy to spend as much time as I have being involved and serving and developing. You've got to sit, you've got to read, you've got to practice, you've got to meditate, you've got to sit in circle. Sitting in circle is drawing on the power of a number of people and an experienced medium. Sitting on your own at home is fine, but there is no comparison to that collective energy. And there's no comparison to that mentorship you get from an experienced medium. Not all of them have to be qualified and have letters after their name. Their experience speaks for themselves. But people who do have these certificates and diplomas with respected organisations, they have been tried and tested, and they've learned a lot about not only mediumship and the mechanics, but the philosophy, the history, and when people ask them questions, they have very good common sense down-to-earth answers. They don't rely on just jargon that they've picked up on the internet. They have many examples that they can give you as a reference. Quite often people who want to race ahead with themselves, we see them come to some of the open circles and we meet them and we chat with them and then they disappear. And a year or two later, they've got some certificate somewhere calling themselves a Reiki master and this and what have you. And suddenly they're doing these mentorship programs and they're offering these one-to-one readings. And we know that they are only going to be able to take someone so far. They haven't done the groundwork. They don't realize the other levels that exist. They're only going to reach so far and they're going to make many mistakes. They'll probably learn from them and grow. But even these people, if they want to return to these circles, there's always a chair waiting for them. No one's going to judge them. But quite often they will return because they'll realise that they've burnt themselves out a little bit. They cannot do what they're promising. And it's not something to make a career out of. Because, like I say, it's shifting. It's not static. You cannot rely on it day in, day out. You can rely on the spirit world. And you can make a living giving readings to people. And once you really know what you're talking about and you've got the experience, you can make a living teaching. But most who do, they're not that wealthy from it. It's not a career like ones that you can find in the day-to-day world. It's probably best to establish yourself in your life, in the real world, and keep spiritualism as another way of life that you live, both in your work and outside of it. Then when you find yourself in a financial position where you can go out and work as a medium more, then you know that the spirit world will bring you all the opportunities you need. You don't need to work too hard to make it happen. You've just got to meet them halfway. And when you see people who want to be on the platform within 2 years of starting, they go to all these courses, they pay out all their money, and then when they realise that they can't quite cut it, they can give a few messages from the platform. But they're not the all-round evolved medium that they should be. And that's a shame, because they could be. They could be so much better than they are. And quite often people will complain about the standards of mediumship, even within these organisations. And that's because of the kindness people show to people who haven't done the work. We want people to get experience. You're not going to get experience sitting at home on your own. You're only going to get experience on the platform in front of people. So seek out a local centre or church that has circles, that has a platform presentation practice evening, and stand up and learn to talk. Learn to read out a poem or reading something that inspires you. Learn to give your view and philosophy on life, on spirit communication, and on the reading you've given. And then, once you've built up that energy, then try to connect with the spirit world and give a message. Practice, practice, and practice. There's no substitute for it whatsoever. There's no certificate that can replace good, hard practice. And there will be plenty of places that will help you facilitate that. But these 6-week courses, you will meet great people, you will learn things, but don't expect results. They come with a lifetime's experience, and there's no finish line. There's no such thing as a perfected medium. There's only a continual journey. And every time you feel that you've just about got your head around it and you just about understand what you're doing, a whole new world opens up before you and you start from scratch all over again. And you realize that all you can possibly know is how little you really know. There are dangers, there are pitfalls, and you'll meet many wannabes who don't want to be judged, they just want to get on with it, and I appreciate that. But that's wishful thinking. And when it comes to the less well-known things, such as reincarnation and past lives, mediumship leads to an understanding of these things. But quite often you will hear people adamant that they know exactly who they were in a past life. Someone very highly evolved, some priest or priestess, or they've had a life with Jesus. And when you talk to experienced mediums, they'll say to be very careful of accepting any of this information. A lot of it is wishful thinking. You are being shown something from people in the spirit world who have lived lives like this. They're ascended teachers and they're giving you something to aspire to. They're not necessarily telling you who you were. People who do past life regressions, very rarely do they come across anyone who's so highly evolved that they were this great figure in the past. What they work out from their therapeutic practice is that people are being given an image to aspire to more than anything. Most people will have lived very ordinary lives because you learn more from them. People who have life easy, maybe they've earned that. Maybe they're having a relaxing lifetime to give them an opportunity, because when they have a challenging lifetime, they're going to learn so much. It's better that you have a challenging lifetime as an ordinary person suffering the trials and tribulations that we all go through, because these help your soul grow more. Having a life where you believe that you were something special will only bring you disappointment when you don't achieve such great things. Mediumship and psychic development should be a natural, everyday process. It shouldn't be something special and unique, reserved for only a few. But it takes time and development, like anything in life. You can't expect within 2 years to be a proficient master at anything, especially working with the inner senses. They take longer to flourish than the outer senses do. You can develop a keen taste for wine or for different foods, but it takes time, even for a chef or a cook, to develop a fine palate. It takes time for an artist to learn how to work with colour, work with shade and tone. It takes time for a singer to develop the higher and the lower notes that they need for their work. It takes time and practice and development. Some people will be naturally gifted, some people will need to develop, and some people will not be able to do what they want to do, as much as they try. So you have to be honest with yourself. You have to listen to the teachings of very experienced people who only want to help you. They don't want to hold you back. But these dangers, these pitfalls, they're very real, and we fall into them easily. If you don't learn to close yourself down after your spiritual work, and you walk into a supermarket or a shop when you're completely wide open, I've done this, and you will have a shock. You'll suddenly realize how important it is to keep yourself balanced, calm, and grounded. We all make mistakes, but that's how we learn. And if you listen to the advice of other people, it saves you making silly mistakes that you don't need to. It's the same with driving a car. You can learn how to drive a car so that you don't have a life-changing accident. They do happen every day, but if you're careful, you can limit the possibility of having those accidents. But you always have to protect yourself. You wear your seatbelt, you have your airbags, because even though you might be a good driver, there's other problems on the road. And it's the same with anything in life. No one wants to hold you back. You deserve to know how to unfold your spiritual gifts. It is your birthright. But you do have to realize that it doesn't happen overnight. No one said it's easy. No one can make any guarantees or promises to you. You just have to see where it can take you. Keep your mind open, keep your heart open, but keep yourself grounded and feet on the ground at all times. Otherwise, you miss out on things. You miss out on the beauty of it. You miss out on the experience that you can gain by joining groups of people, listening to experience, and finding what's right for you rather than what you think you want. But that shouldn't stop you. Like I said, there's always opportunities for you. No one's going to turn you away in a trusted, respected circle. They're always going to give you the right advice and the right opportunities when you're ready. But you just have to be honest with yourself. That's the most important thing.